Good morning. Ooh. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. Book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 1 to 16. In our one devotional, it's page 120. Mark, chapter 10, verse 1 to 16. And I'll read the passage and the devotional. He left that place and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan. And the crowds again gathered around him. And as was his custom, he again taught them. Some Pharisees came, and to test him, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Pharisees are again trying to trap Jesus here in this passage. Women in those days had very little legal protection. Husbands could divorce their wives simply because they were displeased with them. Jesus answers the Pharisees with a question and quotes Genesis 2:24 to remind them about the original intent of marriage, that a man and woman in marriage become one flesh and must not be separated. What the Pharisees tried to do is to elevate the law above God's original design for marriage. As usual, Jesus humbles them conclusively. It is not God's will that any marriage ends in divorce. In fact, it is not God's will that any relationships be broken, for all disharmony is a result of our sinful nature. This passage does not mean that those who divorce are doomed or reside outside the realm of God's grace. All things can be made whole. Even though Jesus and his disciples were having a sobering talk on an adult topic, we see Jesus still making time for the children to come to him. Jesus is never too busy for his children. Wow, what an incredible devotional. The author did just a great job of talking about such a difficult subject of divorce. Just wow. I don't know if I agree with some of the things that the author wrote, but, you know, it is what it is. It is a difficult subject. And you look at this passage, and there's two major areas, divorce and then children. And so the challenge was definitely writing a devotional that encompassed both. I wrote a little bit about the divorce part, but I want to focus this morning on the children part. And by this time, Jesus knew in his life what his purpose was. Remember, we're in the period of Lent, and I just want you to think about, in about 9 days or so, Jesus is going to go to the cross. So this is his mindset, this is his context, and he knew what the purpose or what was going to happen in the coming days. Now, I don't know about you, but if I knew in 9 days that I was going to be tortured and crucified and died, there would be a lot on my mind. And so this is the mindset and the context of this passage, and with that mindset, you can imagine the tension that Jesus might have felt. I don't know if he did or not. But I'm just trying to place myself in this picture. And it's in this context that people are bringing children to Jesus. I don't know about you, but I think I would be a little bit kind of stressed. You know, it's like, oh, man, all these children are coming. But it was customary for parents to bring their children to rabbis to bless them. We have baby dedication. So that was normal, customary practice for people to do that. But you see the disciples rebuking these parents and trying to push them away and trying to prevent that from happening. And the scriptures tell us that Jesus was indignant. He was upset. He was angry. And any time in the scriptures you see that Jesus was angry or indignant, I think you want to pay attention a little bit. And specifically in this context with children, the scripture says that Jesus was indignant, upset, angry. And so you have to ask, well, why? What were the disciples trying to do? Why did they behave in that manner? And the disciples probably thought they were doing Jesus a favor, probably understanding the situation. Hey, you know, Jesus is, he's tired from ministry. You know, you need some rest. And you know, maybe they thought, oh, you know how children are. They're loud, obnoxious. They run around, rambunctious, you know. And they just want to protect Jesus from the onslaught of this mob of people coming. And they probably did him a favor. But they also, understanding the culture, knew that children on the hierarchy of importance in terms of people, they're on the bottom. They're very last. Children in this culture in this day was considered to be unimportant and low, just like the poor and just like the diseased and just like the sick. Of course, the adults are the important people, but the children, they're insignificant and don't matter. And you should know by now, Jesus' heart has always been for those in low class or insignificant. His heart was always for the poor. And so, of course, his heart is going to be for the children. And so Jesus openly rebukes them. And then he begins to announce an amazing thing. He begins to describe what the kingdom of God is like. And so what does he say that the kingdom of God belongs to? It says he belongs to children. And he's trying to point out that children are a better example than adults of what the kingdom is like. You know, it's ironic that we tell children to behave like adults. Yeah, you know, especially with my son running around yelling and screaming, you know, and you don't behave like it. We want him to sit down like an adult and to be quiet like an adult. And it's funny how it's just naturally, we tell children, I want you to behave like an adult. But if you look at Jesus, he's telling the adults, I want you to behave like children. What is it in children that God sees as an important quality? He communicates that we better receive the kingdom like a little child, or we're not even going to even enter it. And so if you look at some characteristics that Jesus might be looking at into children, one major characteristic is the fact that a child is dependent upon his or her parents for everything. Absolutely everything is a newborn baby, is a child dependent upon his parents. When a child or a baby gets hurt, he or she doesn't think of, okay, what doctor do I need to call right now? I wonder if my insurance covers it. I wonder, you know, what. When a baby falls down and gets hurt, the immediate instinct is for mom or dad. The immediate instinct right away is not, I wonder what specialist can I look up and what will they, you know, think of me? Or the baby doesn't think, you know, maybe I should go online and go to webmd.com and try to figure out for myself. The immediate response is a total dependence upon mom or dad to come fix the problem. A total dependence. And I think what Jesus is trying to say that as his children, that's the sort of attitude that we need to have, that we need to have such a close relationship with him, that when something happens, that our immediate response is to go to him first, not as a last resort. Can I get an amen? Thank you this morning. I know it's tough. It's okay. I'm pretending like it's Sunday. And so that's one thing that you learn about raising kids is that, in fact, as a parent, you know, it's fascinating how you're trying to help them grow into independence. But I think from a parent's perspective, you notice right away, it's like, man, my child is dependent on me for everything. And hopefully that will translate into us understanding that that's God's desire, is that we are dependent upon him because he is able. That he is able to provide. He is able to protect. He is able. Second characteristic that maybe children have is their natural trust. Kids trust anything and anyone and anybody. They trust people that they don't meet. A child doesn't expect people to be bad. children, they may be shy and uncomfortable and uncertain, but you give them, 2 minutes to play with them, and they'll make friends with a perfect stranger. There's this trust that happens between a child and an adult. And obviously, one of the major themes in the scripture is the fact that God wants you to trust him. Trust in him with all of your heart, to lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways to acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. That's either the truth of God or that's not. And so children, they trust people. And the third thing that I want to maybe bring up of all of the characteristics that children have is a child's receptivity. In other words, they believe what you tell them. Good or bad, they believe whatever you say. It's amazing how open they are. Our son has a hard time brushing his teeth, and that's why when Pastor Min talked about his child brushing his teeth, I hope Elijah will brush his teeth on his own before he's 11 years old, and I just hope that's the case. And so, my wife and I are trying to find some strategies to have him brush his teeth and have him to understand the importance and the urgency of brushing his teeth. And so we've told him, Elijah, you have bugs in your teeth. You eat cake, cookies, there's bugs in your teeth. And, we struggled, because it's like, you don't want to lie to your child, and so we've rationalized, okay, we're not really lying because these bugs are actually called cavities, but we just put a new name on it, instead of because if you say, Elijah, there's cavities in your teeth, it's kind of like, so what, but if there's bugs in your teeth, oh my gosh, that's a bad image, just the image of bugs in your teeth is just gross. But then the problem is he's seen Lion King and Hakuna Matata where Pumbaa and Timon eat bugs, and so now that's a different issue. But anyways, I digress. The point is, kids will believe in general. And if they don't believe, then we automatically assume, wow, you're intelligent. I know Elise lost one of her front teeth, and so we asked, did you get a visit from the tooth fairy? And she already said, there's no tooth fairy, it's daddy, and things like that, which just ruins this illustration, actually. But the point is, children in general, their receptivity is great. They believe what you tell them until they have the cognitive ability to deduct what is true and what is not true and things like that. But it's amazing, the receptivity. And I wonder if Jesus is asking us, there needs to be a receptivity to the things of God in your life. If you want to experience the kingdom, there's got to be a receptivity to the truth that I am, as Jesus would say. And so I came across this poem, and it says, if a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with fear, he learns to be apprehensive. If a child lives with pity, he learns to feel sorry for himself. But if a child lives with encouragement, he learns to be self-confident. If a child lives with praise, he learns to be appreciative. If a child lives with acceptance, he learns to love. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. If a child lives with honesty, he learns what truth is. And if a child lives with love, he learns that the world is a wonderful place to live in. And so when Jesus says that you need to be like a child in order to receive the kingdom, there are many reasons why he says that. And it's because children are dependent upon their parents. And I wonder, how dependent are we to God? If you were to give yourself on a scale 1 to 10, how dependent are you with God? Naturally, as an adult, that number rarely is a 10, because God has given us the ability to take care of things on our own. But as I read this passage, I am moved to pray this morning, to ask God, Let me be in a place where I can be totally dependent, even though I know the answers for myself, even though I can figure it out for myself, even though in my eyes it doesn't make sense. But the scriptures say we live by faith and not by sight. And therefore, in order for something to happen in my life, I'm going to be totally dependent upon you. Another characteristic is their trust, is that children trust God. And finally, a child's receptivity. Right after this section, even though it's not in the devotional, if you read the scriptures in Mark chapter 10, there's interesting context. Just the context of talking about divorce and then children, and then right after that is the story of the rich young ruler. And I think you have to look at scripture all in its context. You can't just take a section and just, you have to look at the context. And so I looked at what came following, and it's sort of a comparison of the kingdom. And so when he talks about the rich young ruler, Jesus gives him the idea, like, what it means to inherit eternal life. The rich young ruler asks him, what does it take? What can I do to be good? What does it mean to be good? And here's an observation. Of all of the people that came to Jesus, this rich young ruler is the only one that I can think of or see that came to Jesus and left worse than he started. That he left Jesus worse than when he came. See, because he had so much in his favor. He was so blessed. He had material wealth. He had favor. He had position. He had prominence. He had prestige. He had reputation. And he comes to Jesus seeking the words of eternal life. And Jesus comes to him and he says, you got to go sell everything that you have and all that stuff. And so Jesus answers him. And then he ends the dialogue and he says, I want you to sell all you have and I want you to come follow me. In other words, I want you to give up on all the material things that you place your dependence upon, and I want you to leave all that, because ultimately all I want you to do is to come follow me and depend everything on me. But you may know the story. You may know how this ends. The Bible says that the man turns away sad and grieved. And so if you look at the word grieved in the original Greek, it gives this picture of storm clouds gathering. The original language, the Hebrew and the Greek, the meanings are so rich. And so that word grieved, it's a word picture of storm, a picture of a storm clouds gathering. And so now here's the beauty of this passage, that the imagery here is that this rich young ruler, this man, he walks from sunshine into a storm. See, because the man wanted salvation on his own terms, and he didn't want to do it depending on Christ. He just wanted to do it with his own works, his own ability. But Jesus says, no, that's not going to happen. You've got to be like a child. You've got to be totally dependent upon me. You've got to totally put your trust in me. You've got to be totally open to what I have in store for you. Because as you know, children have their own minds and they have their own directions, but sometimes it's harmful for them and they don't even realize it. And sometimes we're headed on a path of destruction and we don't even realize it. If you are open to what I have for you, and if you believe that I, as your father, is a good father that loves you enough to give my life, that would lay my life down on the line, that I will do in the next 9 days for you, if you would open yourself to that and believe in that, you will receive the kingdom of God. And so I ask you this morning, how would you compare yourself to the attitude of the rich young ruler and the children? See, because both had the same opportunity for the kingdom of heaven. Both had the same opportunity, but the difference was their attitudes. And how is your attitude? As we enter into worship, just want to leave you with sort of this thought. As adults, we think we have to have it all together and figure it out. But maybe in God's kingdom, we let God have it all together and trust that He has figured it out. My, I guess, desire and request this morning as we go through this devotional is it's natural for us in our competency, it's natural for us in our intelligence, it's natural for us to think that we've got to have it all together, that we've got to be strong, that we've got to have it all figured out. But I wonder if the scripture this morning is revealing to us that like a little child, we don't have to have it all together. Maybe in God's kingdom, we just have to let God be the one who has it all together, which he does, and just trust that he's figured it out. So let's bow our heads and let's go before the Lord and let's really examine our heart. To what degree do you truly depend on God's grace? The Bible instructs us to not be childish and immature, but to be childlike, to depend on him, to trust in him, and to receive him. Have you been childish and immature, or have we been childlike? As we go before the Lord, can we ask the Lord, Lord, help me to be like a child, totally dependent upon you. Let's pray this morning.
And hears me when sees each tear that fall and hears me when I call. And hears me when I call. And hears me when I call.
May you feel the incredible, overwhelming, powerful love of God as His child. May the deep love of our Father begin to move the depths of your heart and your soul. May He be the one that gives you comfort in times of stress. May He be the one to lift your countenance when you're going through sorrow. May you experience His abundant joy that lasts a lifetime. Lord, I pray over your people this morning. God, we just pray that like a child, we would be able to look into your eyes and find safety and security and comfort and protection and grace and love. Lord, we thank you that you are our Father who is in heaven, that your name would be made holy. Just receive that love this morning. And let's pray and let's intercede. Let's pray for our community that is ill, especially for those who are ill, needs the love of the Father so much more now in the time of their weakness. And so let's begin to lift up the specific people listed on the slide. There are some additions, and so let's pray together that God would do a powerful work. And for them, for many of them, is just it depends on God, and maybe the doctors can't do anything anymore for them, and so all they have is God. And so let's intercede and intervene for them. Let's pray. Let's pray for salvation for those who are sick, and let's continue to lift them up. Let's not give up. Let's not feel like this is just a just a rote exercise each morning, but let's believe that we're pushing against the darkness, and let's continue to pray for those listed. Let's pray for other infirmities, and let's just pray for that first, and we'll pray for jobs after. Let's pray. Father, we pray for Mrs. Anne. We pray, Father, for breast cancer. Lord, we just pray, God, that you see Christ, Lord. We just pray for his name, Father, Lord, for cancer, late stage, God. Lord, I pray for that he would see the light, God, that he would see salvation, God. We just pray right now, God, that he's loved by you. We pray, Father, that you know that he is a child. We just pray, Father, Let's pray for those looking for jobs. Let's ask God to open doors, and let's ask God for a breakthrough. Let's ask God for just direction, and let's just pray for those who are out of work right now looking for work. Let's lift them up right now. Let's move on to our mission focus, and let's intercede for Cambodia, for Pastor O and New Life. Let's pray for Center of Peace, Pastor Tang, and let's pray for Grace and Bloom, and let's pray for our summer mission teams that are going to Cambodia. Let's lift up the Philippines and Bhutan. So let's just lift up that area of the world and ask God to do an incredible, powerful work. Let's see, ask God to salvation, and let's just lift up our countries right now. Let's lift up our SP Ministries, specifically today for our intercessory prayer team, for Cascade, for our healing ministry, the well, our physical healing ministry, and local outreach. And there's a lot of local outreach happening in the next few weeks. And so let's just begin to lift up those ministries today. Ask God to cover them, support them, to bless them. Let's pray. Let's lift up our house churches today. God uses house churches as an instrument of just incredible life change. And so let's pray for Causeway Bay, Mac Daddy, Mac Robinson, Tregunner, and Waterfront. Ask God to really, His Spirit to be there, and let there be a revelation of His love in those house churches. So let's pray. Father, we want to come before you like little children, and we want to be able to stare in your eyes and see how beautiful you are, God. And Lord, we just lift up our ministries and those that need intercession and those that need people to stand in the gap, Lord. And Father, we just want to come before you this morning to see your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth as it is already done on heaven, Lord. And so we want to join you in what you're doing, God. And so, Lord, we want to bless you, God. We want you to touch us today, God. I pray for favor, God, in the workplaces, God. We pray for favor over Hong Kong, Lord. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. I encourage you to stay and continue to pray and have your personal devotion here. So we'll see you tomorrow.